Hello, and welcome to, for the very final time, Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots podcast. Now, this podcast isn't ending, but Rescue Bots is, because this is the final ever episode of it, until it becomes Rescue Bots Academy, which is not really the same.
It is a different production, different crew and animation and stuff. Well, for some of the writers, probably the same. Mm-hmm. Directors, maybe. But,
you know, it had a good run. It had a good long run. It's certainly
the longest running Transformers show in history.
Yes. Yeah. So, no regrets. You know what didn't have this long a run? BotBots. Anyway, sorry.
That is sadly true.
I'm bitter.
And,
God, I'm just gonna go to TFCon and be intolerable about BotBots the whole time. It's gonna be my personality. Sorry in advance.
So yeah, this is the 26th episode of Season 4, the 104th and final episode of Rescue Bots. Mm. First aired October 22nd, 2016, written by Greg Johnson, a frequent Rescue Bots writer, and writer of 4 episodes of Beast Wars.
Okay.
And, in fact, 3 of my favorite Beast Wars episodes, and one that's not very good.
Well, you know.
I know he didn't write The Low Road, because we know who wrote The Low Road.
No, he did Equal Measures. That's the one where, Cheetor gets transported to the Predacon base.
Okay, I'm weirdly fond of that one.
Yeah, I did Guerrilla Warfare, one of my all-time favorites.
Hmm.
It's the one where Optimus Prime goes crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down, but yes.
I mean, this is one where he goes super crazy.
Well, yes, yeah, specifically
crazy. Extra crazy.
All sorts of Gary Chalk freakouts in that one. And he did Bad Spark, the first Rampage episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Which is fantastic. And then, unfortunately, he also wrote Feral Scream Part 1.
I'll say the others make up for it.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we're going to see him again a while down the road, because he also wrote an episode of Earthspark.
Ooh. Nice.
So he's still around. And so we start off with previously on Rescue Bots, in the form of a journal entry from Dr. Morocco.
I love a good in-character recap.
Yeah.
Yes, and you see, he's trying to figure out what to do to make his robot faster, stronger, and more alive.
I really wish they had said more alive, but I guess that wouldn't have been appropriate, so they just said more powerful. But I did pick up on the stronger, faster, more.
Although he does, in fact, make it more alive, because he's trying to figure out, you know, he's taken over this training center. He's using their 3D printer to make more of these evil scrubbers, but you can tell the lights are a different color, so they're evil.
Evil scrubbers.
And he's also recreated his Morbot. And he's trying to figure out, you know, why do I always lose against the Rescue Bots? What do they have that I do not have? And the answer is that they're robots, and he has a robot, but that robot is just like a big Tinker toy. It's not alive the way that they are.
Hmm.
So he concludes that he must then become the Morbot, which basically means that his face is now projected on its, like, cyberjet face, a la one of J. Jonah Jameson's Spider Slayers.
That's exactly my notes.
Yes.
I do like when the little toy one falls lifeless at its feet, the little monocle rolling away.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Yes, I thought he was going to, like, crush it, but maybe that's a little too violent for the show.
Yeah.
Well, also the evil 3D printer is like, well, they could keep that around and take over for Shapeways, which is apparently going bankrupt? What?
Yeah, apparently.
Weird.
And that's rough.
Annoyingly rough, because I thought about buying something from there, but I tried to get onto the page the other day and, like, half of it wasn't loading or letting me log in. So I guess I'm not buying a few more things from Trent yet.
Uh-huh. So,
oh, and this.
So Heat Wave.
Well, then we cut. Is that where we cut to the theme song?
Yes.
This is the first time in a long time, I don't, probably since the first season, where I've listened to the whole theme song while watching the episode.
Oh.
Aww.
Because normally I skip it. Well, because I have to listen to it more, because I put the theme song into the episode, and I don't listen to all of that when I'm editing. So I hear the beginning and the end. This time I let the whole thing play out for the first time in seasons. Because it's the last
time. It is.
Yes, and then we cut to Heatwave and Captain Dimple Chin.
Yes, Captain Chin Dimple, as he refers to Decade. He's in his boat mode, so we're selling that boat mode again.
Yeah, I like Heatwave being nicer to Cody than he is to Cade.
Yeah.
Yes.
This, other than their main modes, this is the mode that's been pushed the most in the show. The boat mode.
I mean, there's a lot of... I mean, they're on an island, so there's a lot of boat stuff that that happens.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like... I almost think one of the other bots should have had a boat mode somewhere.
There's a lot of need for boating.
Yeah, like somebody could turn into a hovercraft or something.
Or Boulder could have been, like, an icebreaker.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish the dino modes had been used more, but boat mode we do see a lot. Well,
yes.
Speed boat mode.
I guess a fire boat.
Boat, 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 boat.
So they get to this training center, and indeed Cody does not have a boat license, but Heatwave says that, you know, Cade, I've actually been driving since we left. You can't drive either. So we'll just let Cody drive. So they get there, they find that they are indeed under attack by, they're guarded by these terrifying Langolier-sized scrubbers and the now Morocco-powered Morbot.
Maybe we should be more specific than Langoliers, other than us who saw that TV movie.
What everyone knows the famous Stephen King television event, The Langoliers, in which an airplane is attacked by a bunch of evil Pac-Man.
Yes, they're spherical things about 2 feet across and maybe 3 feet long or so.
Cousin Balky is there.
Filled with mouths full of teeth, like
they're kind of almost Pac-Man. Like big scraplety.
Yeah,
they do kind of have scraplet vibes.
Or like if Pac-Man was a Cenobite.
Yes.
Chatterbox. There is a Pac-Man Cenobite.
Oh yeah. So, of course, they got a, you know, there's a fight, and then once again, Morocco's wondering, well, you know, why am I being defeated this time? and I'm an intelligent robot, they're an intelligent robot. Oh, but they have a boy sidekick. I suppose I, too, must acquire a boy.
Yes, no, he's going to steal Cody.
I need a boy detective.
Also, big rebirth vibes here.
Yes.
Where they're like, why does Hot Rod beat us at this stuff? Well, he's got Daniel helping him.
Hmm.
I wonder if this had been like a longer arc, they would have recruited the crime druids or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Like watching the episode, I was thinking, it's like, why would you kidnap Cody? You'd have to force him to do it. Go find the crime druids. Which, that actually would have worked if this had been a three-parter. That was the middle episode. Him trying to kidnap like townsfolk to use, and then he ends up with the crime druids.
Or like the pinch daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, someone who's already inclined towards evil.
Yeah.
Yes, not someone that he has to, like, hypnotize.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the human partner has to be consenting for it to actually work.
Effectively, yes.
And also, I don't know, like, you were the human partner until recently, at which point you became a computer virus, and then an action figure, and then just put yourself into the robot. Yeah. So, it's a roundabout way that you now need a human after being one.
Yes.
And he even radios in to say, oh, yes, I'm going to steal your boy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So we're back at the firehouse, we're radioing into Professor Baranova, and she is working on a way to override this hive mind patch so they can defeat the hive mind of these scrubbers. So Danny and Blades, they are taken off from China. Apparently he's flying over the entire Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, that's a long way to fly. They do find some rockets, so at least...
Yeah, he's got like a rocket boost.
Yeah, they strap rockets to a helicopter? What?
Rocket copter, sure.
I kind of feel like it's more like he's just riding the rockets. I feel like that helicopter is not doing very much work there.
Yeah, this feels like...
When he comes off, he is in helicopter mode. It would have been... Like, made more sense if he was in bot mode riding on it. It's, I don't know.
I mean, he's more aerodynamic that way, I guess.
With the blades?
I mean, this feels like when you watch one of those TV specials on, like, secret Nazi super weapons, and they talk, ah, yes, this was the rocket copter. Oh, yes, it killed 15 test pilots.
Oh, yeah, weird experimental aircraft. Yeah, I guess, sure. Like planes that land on their back end nonsense.
So meanwhile, Boulder, Blur, Chase, and Graham, they are back in this episode. They were just going for a hike, and now they have realized that everything is terrible.
Well, they're just lamenting different problems, and Chase is missing crime.
Yes.
He is. Like, Blur is missing roads.
And so Blur is going to have to go on a cross-country trip with Professor Baranova to get to Maine from, like, Seattle.
That is a long-ass drive all the way from the Pacific Northwest to Maine. And yet somehow that didn't bother me as much as the rocket copter did.
I like Professor Baranova's solution being loaded on a USB stick.
Yeah.
Yes. I like the solution is just the classic 1970s film Cannonball Run.
Yes.
Like, that could have been an episode unto itself, like a wacky road trip picture with Professor Baranova and Blur.
Oh my god, yes. And Chase trying to catch them and crashing into rivers and nonsense. All that. Oh.
Yes, somehow Chase becomes, like, I don't know, Southern. As a classic 70s chase, we need, like, a redneck sheriff of some sort.
Yes.
It's his southern cousin, Buford T. Chase?
Yes. Can Maurice LaMarche do a southern accent?
I'm sure Maurice LaMarche can do a southern accent.
He can do he can do whatever he wants.
Before we get to the wrap-up, that's, like, one of my favorite things about this show is it's so easy for us to just bullshit another episode idea.
Yes.
And it sounds great and sounds normal.
Well, in fact, isn't the one Stunticon on Robots in Disguise, that's Maurice LaMarche doing like a Jackie Gleason accent, right?
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
And of course Jackie Gleason is Buford T. Justice in Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes.
Well, there you go. It's all connected.
So, who is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was going to ask a question to wrap back.
Okay, go ahead.
Who is it that calls him Doc Maroc?
Ooh, I can't remember.
I don't know,
one.
But that sounds like...
Blur, maybe?
It sounds like a Cade thing.
Well, that does sound like a Blurism, especially since I think Blur's voice actor later played Spider-Man.
I think it was somebody in the Pacific Northwest. I just forgot.
Okay.
That sounds like a Blur thing.
It's like in this chunk of notes.
Yes.
It sounds like Blur's fault.
Anyway, I like that at one point Blur is driving so quickly that Professor Baranova radios into Doc Green and says, goodbye, Ezra, please remember me fondly.
Yes!
Well, he is weaving between traffic on, like, one-lane roads.
Yes.
The two-lane roads.
He is not driving safely.
So meanwhile, Doc Green, Frankie, and Servo, the robot dog, they're now at the firehouse, and Frankie is resuming the identity of Rescue Girl.
Yes, she's got all her equipment, and she is ready to go. It is the last episode, and we're going to call back to things.
That's right. She's going to do the Kitty Pryde thing. And so, unfortunately, we are now alerted by Salvage that... there is a swarm of boy... The Morbot is leading a swarm of boy-stealing scrubbers that are coming to get... that are coming to get Cody.
Yes. Cade declares them to be, like, something else that doesn't give off. Because he cannot.
I feel like this is a that's a very specific Simpsons reference. Because there's an episode where Bart is being chased as a truant by like an implacable Principal Skinner. Mm-hmm. At one point, Bart says he's like some kind of non-giving up school guy.
Oh yeah, that's the scene where Skinner walks through a river underwater like he's a Terminator.
Yes.
Now we enter Endgame.
Also, I like that Doc Green is wearing his tie as a headband.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's going full Rambo.
Yeah, he's got a bandolier of not bullets, it's something. I didn't pay attention to what it was.
Like, I think it's the foam.
Yeah, they're shooting their foam guns.
Oh,
yes. Of course, you gotta have foam. Which is not working particularly well.
So compressed Nerf darts, basically. Yeah. Well, the foam sort of works, but not entirely. But that and blades also, does arrive.
We also see Servo being used in a dog ball special.
I didn't miss that. But yes, blades arrive.
So blades, Danny, get there on what must have been a terrifying. I guess they went over the Pacific and also over the entire continental United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were coming from that direction, not the ocean direction where Morocco's coming in from. Oh.
It's a lot of travel going on here. No, I guess,
well, because they're on an island, it could have been from either direction, but...
That's true. Danny is going to be horribly jet-lagged.
Or they came from the Arctic? That would probably be the quickest way.
I guess that's also possible.
Oh. I guess the polar route would be the shortest.
Yeah. We just see them going over the ocean, so it's hard to say.
Yeah. Anyway, it turns out that the Morocco hovering there, commanding all the Langolier bots, was actually an EMH, an emergency Morocco hologram.
Ooh. Yes.
Yes.
And please state the nature of the villainous emergency. And so at this point, then, the real Morocco is he's now on the mainland, and he's trying to stop Blur and Professor Baranova. And at one point, Blur is playing chicken with him.
Oh, yeah, when he first gets there and almost plays chicken. And Baranova's like, please, no. We're busy today. Don't play chicken, you stupid car.
She did not sign up for this. She did not sign up for his shenanigans.
So they do manage to get there, and it turns out she is an avid skeet shooter.
Yes, skeet, skeet.
And also volunteers at CC's toddler gymnastics classes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what is she doing in the infant gymnastics that she's volunteering? Isn't it gymnastics for the infants?
I mean,
they've got to show them how to do it.
Yeah.
I guess, but that involves backflips.
And also she's wielding what appears to be the noisy cricket from Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, the tiny little gun. And then she's, like, surfing on, like, force field discs.
Yes. She's pulling a Sue Storm.
Yeah.
I mean, she is a woman who's married to, like, a wacky scientist.
Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah. Who would be their Ben Grimm? Does she have a brother?
Ooh. I guess he has a sister who's a magician.
Yeah.
As you will recall.
As we have discovered.
But we do not really know anything about Professor Baranova's family, because as you will recall, she was like on the bottom of the ocean for like 30 years or something. But again, clearly, Professor Green's technology has perhaps conquered menopause.
Maybe CC's anyway, a clone.
Also possible. They just like made her in a lab.
Yeah.
I mean, well, she seems to be more functional than the rest of the professor's inventions, so that's something.
Well, which just means it's probably Baranova's experiment. Yeah. Or they just cloned her sister?
Anyway, so they... So she does indeed get in there and And she plugs this this USB key into the mainframe, shuts everything down, deactivates all these scrubbers. And the scene of them falling down also kind of makes me think of the Tom Cruise sci-fi movie Oblivion.
Oh,
I don't think I saw that one.
He turns off some robots?
At the end, they're like, the bad guy has like a bunch of like spherical flying drones.
Oh.
And at the end, it's shut down, and there's a big scene where they all sort of like tumble to the earth.
Oh. That feels like a movie I should have seen, but it also
it's a good
felt
movie.
Like a movie that, like, what I was imagining and hoping the movie would be probably isn't what the movie is.
Mm.
It's got, you know, it's got some good Tom Cruise, some good Morgan Freeman.
Because in my brain, it's basically like, oh, it's WALL-E, kind of.
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay, then I'll be disappointed that Tom Cruise isn't a robot. Silence!
Not quite, but there's a twist. There's a twist. There's a big twist in the movie.
I mean, I know there's going to be a twist, but my ideal twist would be, oh, he's a robot.
Is this some Terminator Salvation business?
I'm not going to say, but there is a big twist in regards to what Tom Cruise's whole deal is.
Okay.
I like twists where people may or may not be robots. Those are my favorite kind of twists.
Hmm. Oh, so you love Blade Runner?
Yes.
Although that's actually a twist I don't want.
Yeah. So Cody and Frankie are very happy that, you know, these scrubbers are seemingly defeated. They're safely ensconced in the firehouse up to the point when, Doctor, like the Morbot, straight up busts into this place like the Kool-Aid Man, and we really get a cool sense of scale here.
Hmm.
And we get this Morbot just grabbing Cody, and I feel like we don't get a lot of like Transformers just grabbing people anymore. That's a very G1 thing.
Yeah,
I
don't see that as much as we used to.
Yeah, no, mostly it's just catching people falling, not picking them up and squeezing them outside
of
the comics.
Of physics.
And yeah, he's you know, Transformers in vehicle mode. Pops Cody into his passenger seat and then fires up his hypno
phone. Oh, yes, the phones! More callback.
Yay, the hypno phones!
You recall that is from that's from all the way back in season 2.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, that's when most of the Morocco stuff was, season 2.
Yes, although I don't think this wasn't a Morocco episode. This was a Madeline Pinch episode.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because she was trying to buy some landers,
right?
Some
she was
nonsense.
Using them as like slave labor.
Oh, right, they were digging
for
out
for something.
Something,
right?
It wasn't Energon,
like
oil or something,
like the nature preserve.
Yeah.
That same nature preserve that, of course, once fell under siege towards by history's greatest monsters, bird watchers.
Yes.
What did they have against those bird watchers?
The scum of the earth.
Bird watchers are some of the worst people, historically.
Apparently. I guess so. Although mostly I guess that is why we have starlings.
It's not so much the watching, is the ones that steal eggs.
Yes.
That's the big problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Because they're not stealing them to hatch them, they're stealing them to get the yolk out and preserve the egg.
Yes.
So it looks pretty. Fuckers. Fuck bird watchers.
So he is evading the team. He's using Cody's brainwashed know-how to sort of evade the rescue bots, take routes they don't know, and ultimately to go into the water and lose them.
Yeah.
But then luckily, Frankie is able to, she's able to Kitty Pryde her way into this Morbot. And so she goes underwater with it. And he's would you please leave the inside of me? This is weird.
Please get out of me.
Please allow me to escape with my stolen boy. Because, look, I finally gave him the rescue bot partner that he wanted, except he's brainwashed, and also I'm evil.
Yes. Oh, it's time for Chekhov's laser.
Yes. Yep. Remember that laser she got for her birthday Last episode, well, she uses it. She melts down that phone. Must have been one of those Nokia ones.
Yeah. No, those Nokia ones are absolutely bulletproof.
They were. Yeah.
Survive in the heart of the sun.
What were those ones that had, like the exploding batteries? Were those Nokia?
I think that was Samsung.
Maybe Samsung. I think that's
Nokia
right.
Were the ones when they were just the old bricks, and they were indestructible as a Toyota Hilux.
Oh yes,
Nokia were the indestructible ones. I think it was Samsung who had the problem with the batteries catching fire.
Okay. So they phase out of the Morbot, and then the Morbot then just plunges into the depths of the ocean, conveniently never to be seen again.
Yeah, into like this ocean trench somewhere off the coast of Maine.
Well, conveniently, do you know who does the theme song for Rescue Bots?
Johnny Trench.
It is, in fact, where are we here?
Marianas Orchestra.
Oh, I'm trying to find this guy's name. I know.
Deep Sea Dave and the Mermaids. I can't name actual bands, so I'm having to make shit up. Weezer?
Oh, it is, Josh Ramsey, who is the frontman of the rock band Marianas Trench.
Oh!
Ha! Uh-huh.
Okay. I was on track and then went off it.
They were, like, kind of a big thing in Canada for a little while. He's the singer of the Rescue Bots theme song.
Are they a Canadian band?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so they were played on the radio because of CanCon and got very popular there.
That doesn't mean they don't have any distinguishing...
It doesn't mean they're bad, I know. It's just...
But it helps.
That little nugget.
It does help. It's
interesting.
There's nothing wrong with a country promoting their own culture.
It's neat. It feels like in my brain, like if Florida had to promote Florida only bands, like 10% of playtime has to be a Florida band. Although I guess probably that shit happens in Texas and Nashville, or used to. Anyway, Frankie saves the day.
That's right. And now she says, relax.
No.
Don't do it. Don't.
So they get picked up by Heat Wave and Cade, who's, Heat Wave's in boat mode. Get one last look at that boat mode. Hmm. And now we're headed back to the training center, and it's time for a big Optimus Prime speech, and I feel like Linkin Park should be playing, and like somebody should be making it with Megan Fox in the background.
Yeah, like Prime speeches. I tried to flip back, but I don't think I had any Prime speeches noted down, even when we're watching Robots in Disguise.
He doesn't give a lot of speeches in this show.
Yeah, no, it happened three times maybe in this show, and only a handful in Robots in Disguise.
But he's not like Prime level.
Yeah, Prime was a lot, and then after that, I just lost track. Because I kept flipping back trying to find, it's like, when the hell was the last one I noted down?
He has to give one last speech to the goodest bots.
Instead, I was just finding the last time Ratchet said, I needed that.
They're all so good. They're good kids.
So now the rescue bots have their... They now have their assignments. Chase is going back to Griffin Rock, where there is still crime to be fought.
And he needs the guidance of Chief Burns, because Chase is not okay on his own.
No.
Boulder and Graham will build an Autobot human community in the Northwest.
Cool.
Just recruit a bunch of Autobots and a bunch of Mariners fans, and possibly Frasier Crane.
Bunch of grunge musicians.
Actually, I've seen those movies. Optimus Prime is, of course, enemies with Frasier Crane.
Yes. It's important to remember that Optimus Prime is enemies with Frasier Crane.
That's why he had to send somebody out there to be on the lookout for the next time Frasier Crane breaks loose.
Oh, that's a good point.
You have to be careful with what you say out there. After all, he's listening. Autobots, I've heard those blues a-callin', toss salads, and scrambled eggs.
It would be really easy to turn Fraser Crane into a Batman villain.
Well, you mean like his brother, Jonathan Crane?
Yes. Oh, a third brother. Oh, wow.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, damn, that's a crossover. I've
also a psychiatrist.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh.
He's the third brother they never talk about.
No.
No. I reject this headcanon.
I love this headcanon.
Niles, please tell me that you visited Jonathan in Arkham this year.
I sent flowers. Some flowers in the room.
I think we have just determined that Chase is the most autistic coded of the cast, and therefore he needs to stay in his familiar location.
Yep. Maybe him or Salvage.
Salvage is
a little of both. Little of both.
Yeah.
So that's why he needs to stay in his familiar setting, because that's better.
So Blades and Danny, you are going to China to be in charge of Quick Shadow and High Tide. And then, meanwhile,
I bet he can do it.
Yeah, Heatwave and Cade, you will be in charge of training new recruits, which is a terrible idea.
Yes and no.
I had to give them a job. I didn't know where to send them.
I mean, Heatwave is a good choice. Cade is problematic, but I think he might be a good teacher, just not a great one. I mean,
he was good when Cody was on the ride-along with him, and he was, like, suddenly surprisingly competent.
Yes.
This is true.
Also, I just want to point out there is a moment in the last episode when Heatwave was offering to take Cody on a ride along because Cade was asleep and it was the middle of the day, and I felt that was
fireman. That sort of makes
Cade,
sense.
Cade was just entirely taking a nap.
I mean, when are most fires not in the middle of the day? I would think.
Listen, I ate too many corn dogs. I had to lie down.
Yes, I think it was probably more like that.
No, most fires are set at night, sometimes by a dog walking across the stove.
I like that he wasn't, like, busy or anything. He was asleep.
Or, you know, of course, firemen famous for making chili. It's possible he ate, like, a bunch of chili and then forgot that he was supposed to be awake, much like that crazy radio host whose name escapes me.
What?
You know, that guy who just got sued for $1 zillion.
Oh, yeah, that lost. Idiot. Okay.
Yes.
Didn't remember him falling asleep on stream.
Well, no, there was radio. A bit in, like, when he was being on trial for child support or something where he ate too much chili and forgot his children's names or something.
Oh, I forgot about that horrible thing because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a side effect of eating too much chili. I'll have to keep that in mind.
I mean, it depends upon the chili and how hot it was and how your GERD is going. You know.
Sure.
I mean, it's not as strong as turkey naps, but chili can knock you out.
Anyway, they can be competent when they want.
Yeah, so everybody's going on their separate ways, but the chief's going to insist that thanks to the magic of the ground bridge, you're all going to be here on Sunday for dinner.
Aww.
So everybody gets in for a picture, much like paralleling the first episode that ended with everybody taking a big picture, except now we have a much larger cast.
Yes. Yeah, well, doubled. Prime's there in the background.
We got a bunch of new bots. We got a baby. We got a robot dog. Mm. We got Cousin Oliver.
He's not in this.
He's not voicing anybody.
This is true. He was on Robots in Disguise.
Yeah.
Man, I need to find an anime convention he's at and just, like, harass him about kid video.
Well, probably should since he's still voicing characters in Naruto and stuff.
Yeah, he would be at anime conventions.
And that is the end of Rescue Bots.
Oh no.
It's a show that I enjoyed much more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
it was a lot better. You know, I was posting on the internets I forget what exactly it was that people were talking. Oh, I think it was when Transformers 1, when the trailer was out, and there were people who were like, I don't know, it doesn't really look like it's for me because it seems too young. I have found that it does not matter what age group a show or a movie or whatever media is geared towards, as long as the writing is good, I will really enjoy it. And Rescue Bots had really solid writing. The corollary to that is that, like, the live-action movies can fuck directly into the sun, as far as I'm concerned. Like, those Netflix shows, I just want to forget they exist. But Rescue Bots, the writing was solid. As long as the writing is solid, I am 100% on board. And Rescue Bots had really good writing. It had some really clever stuff. It was, I've said that it both benefited and maybe suffered from the fact that the writers were not like early childhood education majors. So you don't get the stuff like you get with some kids' programming where it just doesn't make proper sense to adults. And I'm reminded of the time, I think it was BotCon 98, where we were, all of us East Coasters were jet lagged, and we were in California, and we didn't know what to do with ourselves, so we ended up watching Teletubbies. And Teletubbies is definitely the kind of show that is written by people with degrees in early childhood education and not writing. So I think it definitely, you know, Rescue Bots is a show by Transformers writers that just happens to fit into a particular age group. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, the first episode I saw was the musical episode, and I hated it. So I avoided this show like the plague. And then we had to do it for the show. There are better shows, I think, for like the fiction and stuff, like Animated and Beast Wars and stuff. But for a week-to-week show to watch and talk about and just think about other episodes that could happen and other wacky things and like try to logic out this show for little kids, this was the most fun show we've watched, period.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it doesn't sacrifice being a Transformers show for that.
It just, like, it takes out Decepticons and, like, big trauma stuff. It's just small-scale peril most of the time. But still, like, the core cast is good. The more humans than any other show. And, like, it's like a Sentai team. You could have a episode focused on a different character all the time. It's not just, like, the main one or two or three character humans. Little kids. I want a more serious show for slightly older kids to, like, have this set up and then the basically combine this with Animated, where it's, like, upscaling towards Decepticons.
Yes.
That's what I want another Transformers show to be. And to a degree, what little I've seen of Earthspark, that's sort of true there. Not as much as I would like, probably, but...
Yeah, it's a good show, though. I'd say probably the best we've had since Rescue Bots.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Although that's not saying much, because we haven't had a lot of shows since Rescue Bots.
No.
We had BotBots.
We've had the Netflix shit.
BotBots, I feel like, is definitely its own thing enough that
Probably enjoy when we get there.
It's so good. I should watch some more of that leading up to the convention. Just so I can be just totally unhinged about Burgertron. If we go into the fan art, the fan table room, I am going to buy any BotBots merchandise that I see. And I know there's at least some people out there making, like, Frostferatu charms and stuff. So I'm going to buy, like, Burgertron stickers. I'm there. It's going directly on my mug. It's going to be great. But yeah, it's definitely its own thing enough that it can be classified separately. Because it's funny. It's so funny. It's so much funnier than it has any right to be.
All right. So, as this is our season or series finale for Rescue Bots. We are currently foregoing this week's installment of Jen's Visionaries Corner.
Go watch GoBots, though. It looks so good.
Yes. And we'll be back next week with a sort of Rescue Bots rescue retrospective.
Or some
rescue roundup.
Yes.
We will attempt to record an episode at TFCon.
We'll see how that goes.
This episode will come out after TFCon.
I hope you guys like Linux.
You're doing the controlling of the laptop, not me.
Because if I'm bringing a laptop, it's running Linux.
Yay. Just bring a snowball or something for us to record on.
I'll put Mint on there. It's easy.
Unless you can you plug two mics in at the same? No, probably not with it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah,
should be a way. Well, because a mixing board or something, but I don't want to buy a mixing board. They're expensive.
All right, but we will be back with that, and then after that, we'll have one of our traditional inter-season episodes, and then I think we're going into the Cyberverse.
Oh, dear, oh, man. We get to watch little lost baby Bumblebee.
The first season being Bumblebee needs an adult. Yes. There's literally a bit where there's a button he's not allowed to push, and it's whole thing. It's bad. It's real bad. It gets better in the second and third seasons, but it's still always kind of messy.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
I've seen a couple later episodes.
Messy or better?
Messy, still.
It's mostly maybe just better, me complaining about things like knowing where the meta plot should fall in, like, the arc of the season installment of episodes. So it's just mostly me being excessively fussy about writing.
And random things like suddenly we get Cheetor.
At least he's still dumb. There's so many himbos. So many himbos in Cyberverse. It's full himbo squad.
Oh, is it the first show where we see McAdams on TV? The bar?
Yes.
Yeah, McAdams himself.
Yes.
And it's also the first time in an episode you're like, what, 11 minutes or something?
Yeah, they're half length. Yeah.
50 with commercials.
Yeah, we'll figure out how we're going to do it. Well, the first episode will probably be introduction and one half episode, 11-minute thingy.
Yes.
Going on from there will probably be, how boring was this episode? Do we need to watch two? Or how little happened? It will be different. But that's weeks away. We still don't know what we're doing between seasons. Some 80s or 90s we'll cartoon.
You'll figure it out. All right. So until next time, of course, we are all over the air. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are now on Blue Sky and Mastodon. And we also have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. We have not yet settled on what we're doing for July's special episode, but it is going to be something super fun. Maybe the old live-action Guyver movie, which David keeps wanting to do. So
I have been hinting at that since like the first or second episode.
That's probably easier to deal with than my constant pick, which is David Lynch's Dune. But
I mean, whichever's easier to find streaming, I think.
Or like, we, as often happens, we may just find some random other thing that we think of, and we're like, oh yeah, of course.
Or tie into some movie that's coming out, but there's nothing coming out quite yet.
Deadpool and Wolverine's coming out at the end of the
month. Ooh, yeah, but what can we do to tie into that other than a bad X-Men movie or...
Unfortunately, we already did Pride of the X-Men with Australian Wolverine. But yes. I guess we'll see. There might be some sort of cameo in that movie and that we might be able to do an episode on.
Yeah.
That's...
Like if the Fantastic Four show up, we can do an episode of that 90s Fantastic Four cartoon.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I can't imagine that they would be in it, but
Well, like, not, I'm thinking like the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four, not like the good Fantastic, like the new Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Or possibly the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Oh, man, that would be amazing. We should watch that.
Or we could watch the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Oh, man.
It must be on YouTube.
I almost feel like we have. I know I've seen it twice, I think.
I have not seen it, so. This is exciting.
Okay, then that's a maybe. If we can't think of anything else.
Yes.
Or we should, no, we should probably save that for when the Fantastic Four movie finally does come out.
That's true. Unless we want to watch Fant-Four-Tastic.
Oh, man. No, I watched that relatively. One. During COVID, I was catching up on side Marvel things that I hadn't watched and finally got around to watching that. And, yeah. I just think that good. Dr. Doom needs to have a Tommy Wiseau accent.
He needs some kind of accent.
I mean, that's why everybody wants, what's his name?
Tommy Wiseau.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Ooh, oh, yes. I guess that's a good one, too.
Well, they already had Mads Mikkelsen in the MCU.
Yeah, but he'd be in a mask this time.
True. Yeah, that's totally different. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Patreon, so, Discord, all that stuff.
Yeah, so until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And for the last time, goodbye, Rescue Bots. I'm David.
Goodbye to all the best boys.
Let us go and finish this.
All right. Hello.
Yep.
So I can watch gargoyles in color.
Squiggles are squiggling.
Squiggles are indeed squiggling.